today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. Alleluia.
Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
Yes, it is as you say.
Jesus replied, When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him,
Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?
But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them,
Which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?
For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message.
Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him.
But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed.
Which of the two do you want me to release to you?
Asked the governor. They answered.
What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?
Pilate asked. They all answered. But they shouted all the louder. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd.
I am innocent of this man's blood,
he said.
It is your responsibility.
All the people answered,
Let his blood be on us and on our children.
Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Two great questions. Which of the two shall I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is the Christ? What shall I do with Jesus? Pilate was in a dilemma. He knew that he was caught between a rock and a hard place, knowing that the religious authorities sought to destroy the life of this, what he perceived to be an innocent man, and certainly was true. The life of Jesus, no doubt. Unquestionably, this side of that event, we know that. But Pilate struggled, and even in the dream that was revealed to his, wife, she warned him to have nothing to do with this man. She knew something was up. And yet he was in a dilemma. Having been sent to Jerusalem to oversee the Jewish people themselves, now having been the governor or procurator there of Judea, 6 years. You see, he knew that they were seeking to destroy the life and that a sentence of death was something that the Jews themselves could not administer. They had to have his blessing, his affirmation. He had to be the one to determine this. But he also knew that he resented the Jewish people. And he saw them to be highly fanatical people that if he could, he would destroy. But he was operating with the constraints of the Emperor Tiberius. And he knew that Tiberius just did not look favorably upon his governors that abused the subjects in his empire. And so here he was in this dilemma. What shall I do with this situation? And so, I believe in the heart of Pilate, he contrived this idea. He knew that there in his own prison was a man named Barabbas. And this man was guilty of crimes against the state and crimes against humanity. Some would say that he led an insurrection against the Roman government, and that was his primary fault. That was his primary crime. The scriptures itself say that he was a murderer, that he had committed crimes against society, but against human beings. But there he was in prison. And Pilate believed that in his heart that he could resolve this problem. Jesus could be set free if he presented Barabbas. And he would give the people the obvious choice. He assumed that while the religious people were envious and wanted to destroy the life of Jesus, that the crowd would not, and that they would opt for Jesus. Because they knew full well that Barabbas was a guilty man. They knew it. And they would not possibly let someone who had committed crimes against possibly their own people be set free. There are some speculative matters here that the Bible does not necessarily reveal, but I make an assumption that Pilate was standing there and there Jesus stood with him, but we have no record that Barabbas was right there next to them. It is highly probable that Barabbas himself was a distance away, possibly as much as several hundred feet away in a prison cell. So when the question was asked, which of the two shall I release unto you? Barabbas didn't hear that. Imagine yourself. You know you're guilty. You know what you've done. You don't have to appear before a judge. You don't have to appear before anyone to determine that you're guilty. You know what you've done. And there Barabbas sat in his prison cell. He did not hear the question, which of the two shall I release unto you? But no doubt he heard the people crying out, Barabbas! For it was mass hysteria. And they chanted his name. And what seemed like an eternity passed in those moments between the first and the second question. Why Are they shouting my name? What's going on out there? What's taking place? You would feel the same way if you heard your name shouted from the top of their lungs, and in a great concert of voices, they would shout out your name and shout out your name. You'd begin to speculate and wonder, and your mind runs to 1,000 different things in those moments when you know that you're guilty and it's discovered by others. But what's going on out there in the crowd? What's going on? And the question follows after they shout out the name of Barabbas. Pilate said to them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." And so you're in the prison. You're sitting there. You hear your name, Barabbas. And then you start hearing them say, "Crucify. Crucify him." Connect the dots. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. There you are in prison. There you are, just like him. And you know that they're going to come and crucify you. Everything, your conclusions draw you. Your emotions draw you to that moment. You know you are guilty and you are going to be crucified. You know it. Based on everything you've heard, and you know for sure, based on everything you've done, that you are guilty. You see, we're like Barabbas, aren't we? In fact, I'm Barabbas. I don't know if you see yourself that way, but I'm Barabbas. And you're Barabbas. We're guilty. Let us draw the conclusion. The evidence is clear. The only difference is that in those moments, there stood Barabbas. Knowing that he was about to be sentenced to death, he thought, because he knew. And they bring him out of that cell and they release him. No telling what they said to him. But you're guilty. What did Barabbas know that day? He knew that he was guilty. But there he beheld this Jesus that we have no evidence that he knew much about the life of Jesus. But there is reason to believe that he knew something about his life. There he's released into the crowd and he's absorbed by the people. And there he stands wondering, who is this Jesus? And now, why is he being punished for something that I know I did? Why? Because I know that I'm guilty. Do you know that? Do you recognize what the Bible makes clear and what your experience in life shouts at you every single day? That you are guilty, that you have sinned and you have fallen short of the glory of God? Do you know that reality? Is your sin some little thing that you've committed that you might think, well, there's no real commitment of crime that I've committed. No real serious infraction have I committed. Is your thought that you're somehow better than you really are? Barabbas stood in front of that mirror and he recognized that day with all the crowd in hysteria shouting out his name and shouting out, "Crucify him." And yet when the guard brought him out from his cell in those moments, you talk about a mixture of feelings. There's no telling what this man thought. As he looked at the crowd yelling and screaming and the religious people and the Roman authority, and there's Pilate and there's Jesus, and now he's being absorbed into the crowd, and we don't know exactly what Barabbas did, but I'm going to speculate a little bit, and I don't think it's probably far from the truth, but I don't think it is anyways, but there he is in the crowd and he begins to watch and look because, you know, the attention is not on Barabbas anymore at that moment. These people are all fueled with a sense of hatred and anguish and bitterness. And this Jesus, who they thought was going to ride in on a donkey and he was going to declare peace and usher in a new kingdom, he hasn't fulfilled all that. All week long, we've listened to him teach and all the things that he's done. And now we're at this place. Crucify him. And then you have religious authorities, people who feed the minds of the people and help them to understand what they're supposed to believe and how they're supposed to act. Nothing like a group of religious people who don't have a clue what's going on, and yet they try to tell the people what to do. And the people follow blindly, being led to the slaughter. Guilty. They are guilty. And there Barabbas looks at that Jesus. He knows that for whatever else might be said, he knows that he's guilty. And he knows that Jesus has become his substitute. But that's what Easter's about. That's what this whole thing is about. It's about a substitute. It's about someone who stands in our place, even though we're guilty, if we're willing to recognize it. Barabbas saw a man standing in the very place that he knew he should have been. He knew it. Do you? I am Barabbas. You are Barabbas. And the startling reality of who you are in light of who God is, it may not be something that you want to face, but trust me, believe me when I say that the Word of God confronts us and the law of God is like a mirror and it causes us to see things about ourselves. It's bad news at first. It doesn't look good, but God wants us to see ourselves in light of who He is so that in the end we might see who He is. Jesus Himself was punished. He became a substitute for us, for Barabbas. What else Barabbas did that day, I do not know, but I speculate that Barabbas followed along with the crowd. He wanted to see, what is this man doing? Why is he doing this? Possibly engaged people in conversation and said, who is this Jesus? What has he done? Why are they so upset? Why are you so upset with them? What's going on? Now, he wouldn't dare have that conversation among the masses of people because, you know, he had been set free. But he'd have a private conversation, maybe off the side of the road, maybe along the Via Della Rosa there in Jerusalem, and he would gather some people together and ask them, what is this? Why is this going on? Why do you feel so strongly against Jesus? Why do you feel like he must die? Why is this going on? And there he would follow Jesus all the way to Golgotha and see him crucified, and he would be puzzled and he would wonder, but he would know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was his substitute. Jesus was his substitute. And Jesus did something for him that day. For us, that day, which is the basis of our entire salvation, he became a substitute. And he took upon himself that suffering for us. He took our place. Just as in the Day of Atonement, when one ram was offered up as a sacrifice. Two were brought. One was offered up as a sin offering on the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of men and women. And that atoning sacrifice was necessary. In other words, the Old Testament system laid a foundation for what Jesus would accomplish, that Jesus would fulfill everything that the Old Testament had spoken of in terms of shadows. And that day, Jesus would become the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. He would become our sin offering. That's the substitute nature of the death of Jesus Christ. And Jesus will fulfill everything that the Old Testament had spoken of. For there would be another ram on that day, and Aaron would place his hands upon that ram, and he would pray, and he would transfer on the Day of Atonement every single year. One offered up for a sin offering. The other would be prayed over, and the sin of the people, symbolically speaking, was transferred. The guilt of the people was transferred to that other ram. And then the ram was sent off. Jesus Christ, in the mind of Barabbas that day, was a substitute. In the mind of Barabbas that day, and in every one of our minds today, if we understand that we are like Barabbas, that Jesus Christ is our scapegoat. He's the one. He said, I don't like that idea. That's not right. No, that's the exact biblical word found in Leviticus chapter 16. It's the biblical word. It describes that he carried for us our guilt, our shame, our pain, our suffering, everything he did for us. Why? Because we're Barabbas. Because of that, he died. Barabbas knew it. How far he traveled with them, we do not know. But to look upon that Jesus on the cross and then to begin to hear about what took place 3 days later. We don't know exactly what happened. But a man whose life has been spared and understands the significance of the mercy of the person in charge, the authority in charge, at that time being Pilate. A man who understands that is a man who understands, I should have died, but I'm alive. I am guilty. And yet I've been declared, practically speaking, innocent, with no effect of my guilt laid at my feet. And that's exactly what Jesus did. We are guilty. We are guilty. But the beautiful nature of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that while we are guilty, he died in our place. He incurred the wrath of Almighty God upon himself. Yes, he died on the cross. He suffered. He took our place. That means that a righteous, holy judge is bound by his word, by his integrity, that he would punish sin. And the curse of the law, Galatians tells us, is death. And yet Jesus bore the curse of the law. The law says, you've got to die. You will die. It sentences us to death because of our crimes, because of our sin, because of what we've done. Yet Jesus steps in and he incurs the full wrath of God, the Father. Why? So that we could step away without guilt. You understand how significant this is? You've been guilty of something? You've been guilty of something where maybe you didn't experience the full consequence, or maybe in some cases any consequence to it, but you knew? Changed your thinking, didn't it? Hopefully it did. Hopefully it changed your thinking. Hopefully you realized you didn't have one of those, you know, little prayers. Oh, God, if you get me out of this thing, I'll be glad. I'll serve you all my life. And then you've forgotten all about that. Hopefully you haven't done something like that. If we understand the nature of what it means to have a substitute, and we understand the nature of what it means to have a scapegoat, somebody who will handle our guilt, somebody who will bear our guilt, will carry our guilt all the way to the cross. If we understand that it was Jesus who suffered on our behalf, then we understand that we are compelled. We are compelled this moment to stop procrastinating, to stop putting aside what we must decide today. Stop putting off to tomorrow what must be decided today. You must be born again. You must be. God is shouting from heaven. He is declaring his goodness to you. What else can God do? He's atoned for our sin. He has given everything that he has to give. What else can God do for you? But this day be saved. Why wait? Why are you speculating? Why are you caught up in all kinds of religious stuff? Why do you keep yielding to everything else but the Spirit of God in your life? Why? Why? If you're like Barabbas and you understand that you're like him, then you understand this day is a day of decision. You can't walk away from this moment without the Spirit of God's conviction in your life. You can't walk away from this moment without making a choice. You are bound to make a decision today. Everybody understands. If you don't understand, raise your hand. Acknowledge in some way. Let me make it as clear as it possibly could be uttered today. Do you not understand? Anyone. We must make choices. And those choices will be made this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. What gods will it be? Because you will have a God in your life, or many gods in your life. Who will it be? Will it be Jesus? That's what he wants. The heart of a loving God. Oh, he gets such a bum rap sometimes. I get so sick and tired of hearing people disparage who the Lord is. Aren't you tired of that? Oh, he's just this terrible, you know, just, you know, going to thump you on the head, going to annihilate you kind of God. He has no compassion or love. Is that really God? There's no doubt that God brings judgment. If you choose and you persist to continue to live like you're living, and you choose to persist in the way that you're thinking, and you choose to and persist to deny who Jesus is or deny him as your Savior and Lord, there will be grave consequences to that choice. Grave consequences. And you will step out into eternity without Jesus, separated for all eternity, and the curse of the law will have its effect upon your life. and know that it was never God's intent for that to happen for you. Because today, you know, nobody raised their hand to indicate that they do not know or understand. And so you do. No, don't you? And boy, are we accountable. You know who I see in that story? I see myself. I see in Barabbas myself. That's who I see. I don't know who you see. Father, there are people whom you gave your son for here today. We gather. We assemble ourselves because you've called us. It's our highest motivation for being here that you are God and we are in need of you and you love us and we've come to declare our love for you. You gave your son and we assembled to declare that we believe in him. On this Palm Sunday, help us, Lord God, to be stirred beyond emotion but taken to a place of decision this day. Oh God, for every person here this day, Father, capture their thinking process. Lord God, capture their mind that it would not stray to places and to things and beyond this place of decision, this hour of decision in their hearts. And Lord, I pray that as their hearts are captivated by you this morning, that they will believe, that they will come to know you, and that they will stand with gratefulness, having received the salvation of the Lord, your salvation that you bring to every person who believes in you. Lord God, help them to call upon your name today. Awaken them, Lord. As you shouted from heaven today, your marvelous plan of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. May hearts be changed and lives be, Lord God, would be transformed. The people would be born again. And others, Lord, would continue in the process of living out the faith that they have come to know and believe. Father, that's our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.